Yo, what's up? It's your man's Joaquin, and you're tuned in to Heat Level Podcast. What's up, world? Well, today, man, I am here with Mike Q, here beside me. What's up? And we are on a Zoom with my dad. He goes by. Tell him who you is. Tell him who
Big
you
Mike,
is.
Big Mike.
Big Mike. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Tell me about it. Well, look, like, well, so today, man, I don't have my co-host here today, Jay. You know, he has some things come up. So on this episode, we are going to listen to a clip from Tupac that talks about basically black-on-black crime and, you know, police shootings back when he was alive, which was like 95, 96, where his interview came from. And y'all know how we do it, man. So we are going to be at the situation table on this episode. So I'm going to play the clip and we will discuss this after we play this clip. So y'all let me know what y'all think and we'll go from there.
We killing each other because we killing ourselves. We not, when another man, I know, I've been in a position, it's out of our control. It's not like he wants to kill. He just doesn't want to die. You know what I'm saying? It's that situation when you got, we are living in a war zone. It's not as easy as these people are making us think that we just got some criminal ass black kids with guns. It is not like that. We live in hell. We live in the gutter. We got us stacked up 80 deep in one building. You know, by the time you get out your house, you strap to protect yourself. Because you're living in the same community that the police is carrying rifles and riot gear. Same, they need them riot, excuse my language, I'm so sorry. The same reasons they need the riot hat, the riot jacket, the flak jacket, the double vest, the 9mm Glocks with extra bullets, the tear gas, the mace, all that. Who do you think the police is using that against? Dogs? So we fighting the same villains that they fight in the street. But instead of them seeing us fighting villains in the street, we all villains.
Is your generation the one that is picking up for where the Panthers left off, saying, all right, enough is enough? The generation before us forgot about the fight. We're picking it back up.
Not only forgot about the fight, forgot about us. Yes, and we're picking it back up. But at this level, all we're trying to do is unite. And right now, as a year, we got 1 million people that's listening. Now we can tell them something. Now we can try to get them that way. And we might lose some. We might gain some. But we would never even have that audience had we not said what was real. You know what I'm saying? And the main thing for us to remember is that the same crime element that white people are scared of, black people are scared of. The same crime element that white people fear, we fear. So we defend ourselves from the same crime element that they scared of. You know what I'm saying? While they waiting for legislation to pass and everything, we next door to the killer. We next door to him, you know, because we up in the projects where it's 80 in the building. All them killers that they letting out, they right there in that building. But it's better just because we black, we get along with the killers or something. We get along with the rapists because we black and we from the same hood. What is that? We need protection too.
Finally, I want to ask you about something that someone else asked you in an interview, and I thought the answer was interesting because I think it speaks to you and your generation a lot. Someone said, where do you see Tupac 10 years from now? You said, hey, I just want to be alive. That's real for you.
That's so real. I made a metamorphosis. I'm a new person today. Because I used to strongly and honestly, I feel like I could represent my generation so much because I honestly did not care whether I lived or died. But now, I cannot die with people thinking I'm a rapist or a criminal. I can't leave until this shit is straight. You know, I'm not suicidal. I can't go until y'all really know what time it is. And then after that, boom, it's all over. And we can see, you know, how this shit fall. But that's how it is. And the reason being is because if I can't live free, if I can't live with the same respect as the next man, I don't want to be here. Because God has cursed me to see what life should be like. If God wanted me to be this person and be happy here, he wouldn't let me feel so oppressed. He wouldn't let me feel so trampled on. You know what I'm saying? He wouldn't let me think the things I think. So I feel like I'm doing God's work. You know what I'm saying? Just because I don't have nothing to pass around for people to put money in the bucket don't mean I ain't doing God's work. I feel like I'm doing God's work. You know what I'm saying? Because these ghetto kids ain't God's children. And I don't see no missionaries coming through there. You know what I'm saying? So I'm doing God's work. While Reverend Jackson do his up in the middle class and he go to the White House and have dinner and pray over the president, I'm up in the hood, you know what I'm saying, doing my work with my folks. And just because I don't live there don't mean I don't go there. I got to go there because I can't hang nowhere else.
So that was from the late, great Tupac Shakur. And I want us to talk about that. And first, I want to ask a question to you, Mr. Big Mike, as you like to call yourself. I want to ask you, so what do you think, since, you know, we got two black men here, we got a Colombian here who basically ain't. They can see the same thing anyway. And so what do you think about what Tupac was saying? Do you think what Tupac was talking about then is relevant now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's relevant now because, you know, what he was saying is it's a new day, but the day hadn't changed, if that makes any sense. You know, but yeah everything that he was saying is pretty much the truth.
You know, so you basically so like when he talks about you know, black on black crime, and he say, hey, look, we out here, we trying to protect each other too. You know, and you talking about this is back in 1995 that he was speaking about this, and right. And he was talking about how they look at all black people as criminals, especially black men, right?
Yeah.
And I think that, you know, a little bit about your story, but I want to ask a guy that's not black, but he's Colombian, he's Hispanic, and I want to see what he give me his brief about what he think about what was Tupac saying 26 years ago.
Right.
Is it still relevant now?
Okay, here's the situation. I hate the words black on black crime.
Yeah.
Because I think it's a little bit of a bullshit slogan. Because the thing is that you're not having a black guy going to a white neighborhood looking for a black guy to kill. Okay.
Amen. That's right. That's right.
So that's
but if you listen to what he's saying,
he didn't say
black on black. He was just saying what he was saying. He wasn't saying black on black.
No. So here's the thing. So you got people talking about black on black crime, like it's something that is like, oh my God, dude, the blacks are so violent and so physical and all this kind of stuff. It's all bullshit. Because the thing is, like, if you were to put a bunch of white guys, right, of all different economical levels, they're gonna kill each other. They're gonna have the same situation as a black neighborhood will have. Okay, and nobody's going and saying, "Oh, that's white on white crime." You know, here's the reality of things: the black community is pushed to live among people that you don't want to live with.
Right.
Okay. Let me finish.
Yeah. So, like, for example, you're a family man, you're doing this, you're trying to work as hard as you can, and you want to buy a house. You can buy a house. Why? Because everybody that looks at you looks the N-word. And the thing is, like, so you have to go live in the ghetto or in a neighborhood that is prominent black, you know, and what is it? And you're like, maybe you don't want to live with those neighbors, with your neighbors. You don't want to live, if you're going to the ghetto, you don't want to live right next to a whorehouse. You don't want to live in a crack house. You don't want to, but guess what? That's the only thing that you're going to get.
I say it like this. Okay, well, now what I get what you're saying is, you know, if you put everybody in that type of economic environment where you don't have this and you don't have that and you can't get out of here, you can't get out of this, then everybody just gonna start turning on each other, right? And yeah, that happens. But what I think Tupac was saying was, look, I'm coming up in this hood, I'm coming up in this ghetto, right? And the thing is, I'm trying to survive, right? Yeah. All right? So I'm trying to survive and I'm trying to get out of this, but at the moment, I gotta carry this gun. I gotta do that because it's some motherfuckers around. No,
that's fine. That's,
you feel me? It's a lot of people around here that's not trying to go where I'm going. They really don't want to push where I'm pushing. They don't want nothing different. See, they love where they at. So in order for me to not end up on the side of the road with a bullet in my head, you know, I'm going to carry a gun. But on the flip side of that, me protecting myself as being a black man, I'm going to, if I kill this other black man, try to protect myself, I'm going to end up in prison, even though I was fighting for my life, right? It doesn't matter. You killed, this is how the system worked, right? And that's why I can understand. Dad, I want to get your take on this. All right, before you go. This is understandable. I kill a black man, that's one gun. Then I put him in prison, I kill two birds with one stone.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? And I think that's how white America, and when I say white America, I'm talking about the ones that are pure white America. You know what I'm saying? They like, look, we don't want no other America but white America. You feel me? And at the end of the day, I think that's exactly what he was basically saying. Okay. It's like, hey, I don't want to kill another black man, but look where I'm at. You know, but I could tell you this, there's a lot of white people that stay in the hood too. But can I tell you this? The rate of a white person getting killed by a black person in the ghetto is slim.
Slim. Yeah.
Another black person killing. Oh, and I'm gonna tell you that, and dad, I want you to get your take on this. If I'm in the ghetto and this white boy do something to me, I might just kick his ass. Right? They might just kick his ass, humiliate him. But if a black man do the same thing this white guy from the same hood as me do to me, I'm gonna kill him. And now I'm gonna tell you this. And bro, I lived in it, and that's how it go down. Let me get my take from my dad.
Okay.
Dad, because my dad, he's, how old are you?
I'm 46.
He's older than both of us. He's 57. So go ahead, and what's your take on that? Because, you know, you grew up, how you grew up.
Well, like what you was just saying, you know, you got to think about it. And when you're in a certain environment, you can become the product of your own environment. Okay, now you got to think about it. When you're oppressed, you get what? Depressed. And you get stressed. So you got all of those S going on. You know what I mean? So what happens in that type of environment is, like you just explained, you know, if it was a white guy, you'd just whoop him. You know, but if it was a black guy, you're going to have to do what you got to do. Yeah. But the reason for that is this right here. In the black community, it's more, how would I put it? In the black community, it's almost like unwritten rules. And I know you understand what I mean when I talk about
unwritten rules. I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah. And so that, and there's certain things that in the black community, you don't want to be viewed as being weak. That's one of the main things. You don't want to be viewed as being weak because once you get that label, you will get run over, you know, and taken advantage of, you know, and that's just how it is in you know, in the black community. And because everybody wants to be the
gangster, the killer. And then you got to think, and I'm going to take, but you got to think one thing too. My dad coming from both realms, you know, because you talk about the drugs getting poured in the black community also. And, you know, my dad, you know, is not afraid to admit, you know, he once was hooked on crack cocaine, right?
Right.
And always, once a junkie, they say always a junkie, but this is the thing. They poured that into the black neighborhood once they took all the industrial stuff out.
Okay, but here's the thing.
So I would remember that
look, no,
it's called, and like Tupac said, it's called the projects. And the reason why they call it the project, because it was specific design and an experiment that was created for the black community.
Okay, but here's the thing. Okay, back in the 1920s, okay, the black community was a thriving community.
Very thriving, exactly. Okay? Right, yep.
And the thing is, like, they were able to actually have millionaires. They had an airline. They had hotels. They had people that play classical music. I think that one of the singers that play classical music is the one that sang Killing Me Softly. So you got this amazing, full of culture community. And at the same time, right next door, you had the crackheads, the whores, and all this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Back in Memphis, as long as the, again, please forgive me.
You got it.
As long as the niggers kept quiet, we don't bug them, you know? Right, and if, right. As long as you play the music and what is it, and smoke the weed and all that kind of stuff, you're cool. And then we're nice and whatever. Once you start going, hey, what about our rights? And then that's when they, what happened with the weed? They right. made it illegal back in 1940s.
Yeah.
Okay. And so now everything that you guys did, and in my community also, because it was also the in the Latin community that was also affected by it. Now, if you carry a joint, even though you smoke it with a white guy, with the police officer, with the mayor or whatever, now it's a felony. Guess what? You're not gonna get work, and guess what? Right. You're not getting out of the ghetto. And that's the thing. The system is not. When somebody asked me this question the other day, do you think black guys are more violent than white guys?
Hell no.
Yes, they are.
I don't think so.
No. I'll tell you why. Because exactly what you just said.
Let me finish. I'm gonna tell you what I mean.
Let me finish what I'm gonna say.
Yeah.
When you grow up in an environment where you have to survive, not live, survive the day to day, you become more violent. I don't care if your skin color. It is not about, it's take out the black guy, take out the white and put in the white guy who lives in the ghetto and who has to survive. Is he more violent? Yes, he is. But the thing is, like, the problem is that you guys were cornered and you guys were pushed into the ghettos, and where you guys, and please, again, you became more violent, more this and all the more tough and all this kind of stuff. And the reality is, like, I love, I feel like my Jerry Maguire. I love black people. And the thing is, like, I feel there's a bar right next to my house. Yeah. It used to be about 3-4 years ago. It was actually full of white people.
Yeah.
My dad, my stepdad, he's white because he's German, German Colombian. He's more white than you could ever imagine. And I walk in. We feel threatened, completely threatened in that white environment. Now, I don't know why what happened. Now it's a black boy. I walk in, dude. I get hugs. I get kisses.
Let me say something.
And I feel safe.
Let me respond to what he was just saying.
Go ahead. Then I respond after you.
Now when I was younger, you had everybody was in their own little place. Uh-huh. We used to call it across the tracks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so you knew where you belong. You know, mm-hmm. it wasn't no secret. You knew where you belong. So it was designed like this. We know where you are at all times.
Yeah.
We're not going to allow you to move in our area because we're going to redline. You know, no mm-hmm. matter how much money you have. And it's still the same way today. It's just got a different face. You know, and so when you look at the whole picture, the reason that you was talking about we're more violent, right? It's not that we're more violent. It's all the things that you're consuming. It eats at you. And when it eats at you like that, you have to say, wait a minute, hold up. You got to channel it somewhere. Now,
mm-hmm.
what happens is we channel it, especially if you're younger. Most younger people don't really know how to channel their anger. You know, you can be angry though, you know, like in, you know, when they say anger and sin not, you know what I mean? But sometimes that anger it's like a pressure cooker. When that mm-hmm. pressure builds up so much, it can be the smallest thing and you just blow like a time bomb. Because you suppressing so much stuff.
Okay, you're right about this. This is what I was saying. Let me tell you what I was saying when I was saying that. I think white people are more violent. This is why I said that. We might be violent far as individuality. When you say that we, you know, not just killing each other, we quick to go off the handle, we kind of aggressive, we always in defense mode, understandable.
Right.
But when I say that white people are more violent, this is what I mean by that. They do mass murders.
Yes.
In numbers. Yeah. Okay? And this is why I say more violent. Me, as a black man, might kill three people. This black man might kill four. This black man might kill one. This black man, you kill one, you get caught, you're gone for life. When it comes to a lot of white people, and I'm just going to say white men specifically, because if you look at the history, they have mass murdered way more people than black people have killed singly, okay? You know, we'll talk about the guy that shot up the two white guys that shot up Columbine. We could talk about the guy, Timothy McVeigh, that did the bomb.
Blew the building.
We could talk about the guy went to Sandy Hook. We could talk about the guy that shot up the theater. We could talk about the guy that shot up Louis Cafeteria. We could talk about the guy that shot up McDonald's. We could talk about the guy that went overseas, the white guys, and they chained the doors together and killed all the people in the concert.
Yep.
We could talk about all that. So when I say more violently, I don't think we are expected to be violent, right? When they see a black man or something like that, it's like, oh, he's violent. Okay, he's from this neighborhood. But this is a different about violence, right? What you think is going to be more deadly? Deadly is going to be the ones you have no clue about. And that's why I've always said this. I would trust a person coming out of prison with their pants sagging off their ass, with their head turned to the back, and I told you this, before I trust a white dude coming to me with a suit and a tie. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to give you two people, okay? I'm going to give you Bernie Madoff, okay? All right? I'm going to give you him, and I can't remember the guy that was over Iran. I can't remember his name.
Enron, yeah.
But I'm going to give you him. Them two people with their suit and tie.
Yeah.
They're very trustworthy. Yeah. Look what they did. And a lot of white people that do mass murders, guess what? It's these guys that, oh, I never saw that coming. But when it comes to a black man, automatically, if I go up into a McDonald's, and I done did this, brother, and me being a black man, it done happened.
Yeah.
I go up to a McDonald's, and my burger is messed up. They done fucked up my burger. Hey, man, I said no cheese. But if I go in there, and I be like, hey, I didn't want cheese on this. Automatically, it's like, oh, shoot. You'll see people start coming up to the front.
Okay,
see the manager coming up to them. But guess what? When a white guy come in there, and let me tell you, brother, I done seen it. When a white girl coming down, they come in there and they be like, you put cheese on my stuff.
Let me talk to the manager.
Guess what? Let me tell it. The manager don't automatically come to the front. It's like, it's a white guy. Man, it's cool.
Okay,
but that same white guy might come in there and be like, let me get my cheese. And they say, no, guess what he'll do? All right, cool. I can't get my cheese. Go out to the car, come up in that motherfucker with a machine gun, kill everybody up in there.
Okay, hold up. Give me one second. Here we go. Are black men more violent? The answer is yes, for what we talked about.
Yeah.
Now, that is the wrong question to ask, because that is not your nature, okay? That's the environment that you have grown into, and it
the
has
environment they put in front of
now, us. Exactly, it is.
Yeah.
But the question is, to be more specific, are black men are naturally violent? And the answer is no. They're actually, black men are more peaceful than anybody else, because I don't know, they have an authority, they know what they know what they're getting into, and they're more honest about their right. emotions. If a black guy comes up to me and goes, I'm gonna kick your fucking ass, trust me, I'm shitting my pants because he's going to kick my ass. A white guy comes up to me and says, I'm going to kick your ass. I'm going to be like, yeah, sure. That's not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's not about the size. Or it's not about this. I know he's all bullshit and all that kind of stuff. Is that? But a black guy comes up to me and says, or a Colombian guy comes up to me and says, I'm going to kick your ass or I'm going to kill you. Dude, I'm riding my way.
Right.
You know? But that's not the nature. That is not the nature of the black community.
Let me interject something right there.
Okay.
Okay. Now, my mother's from Mississippi. She done seen it all. She's 80 years old. She done seen it all.
Is she from the border of Memphis?
Yeah, right at.
Yeah. Yeah, well,
okay.
She's from like, what is it, Batesville?
Yeah. Batesville area.
Mississippi races regardless, even now.
But here's the point I'm trying to make is this right here. Out of all the things she did and went through, she always told us to treat people as you want to be treated, right? So you got a good point going on right there, you know, when you were saying about we're humble. We're really more humble. We are. But we're more forgiving too, you know, because And the thing is, the white people in general, they study every race, not just black people. They study you to know your strengths
and your weaknesses.
And to know your weakness. And they know our weaknesses is being passive. They know that.
You know what they know? Our weakness is pride. We're very prideful. And they know that we will get ourselves killed and ourselves shot because we are very prideful. And that is a strength and a weakness at the same time.
Yeah.
I'm going to tell you why. I was watching a video today, and I wanted to play that on the podcast, but maybe next time. Is they came in and arrested this black man in the mall. I don't know if y'all seen it. They said, oh, you drive a black truck? And he said, no, I ain't got a black truck. They arrested him anyway and tried to say he was a black man with dreadlocks that jumped out of a black truck. This is my thing. He was not prideful at first. He was like, duh. Then he got to yelling, no, motherfucker, duh, duh, duh. Y'all got me messed up. I take these cups off me. You'll see what's going to happen. Duh, 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 duh. And he's in the mall, and then this girl's like, no, baby, calm down. He's like, no, y'all did this in front of my kids. Duh, 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 duh. But what he's not thinking is, and you know, nothing about the night, it was wrong for what they did, but let me tell you what I'm saying is, I was like that too. I had a situation like that number about a year ago. You know, my dad, remember, we ain't gonna talk about that, but I'm just saying. Now, what if they would have shot me? Like, what if they would have said, okay, boom, I pile.
Yeah.
Then they gonna say, well, he was aggressive. He was loud. I thought he was coming towards me. Well, yeah, guess like what? My thing is this. If that guy would have just said, all right, cool, look, sir, I wanted a black truck. You know, after they arrest him, take him outside. He said, okay, if y'all going to arrest me, put me in this car for something I didn't do, I will be suing y'all. All right? They actually uncuffed him right outside because they found out it really wasn't him. But all the stuff that he was doing, it could have led to another black man dead. You know what I'm saying? It really could have.
Well, I'm going to tell you what that is. What that is this right here.
And that
you already feel you being mistreated in society. Yeah. I mean, just basically in society, period.
Yeah.
So when someone in authority come and amplifies it, you know what I mean? They amplifies it. And so you get defensive. That's what happens. You get defensive.
Yeah.
And so, you know, because things like that done happen to me. You know, and I remember a lot of times being out and like going in a store, you're going to be followed. You know, it's just certain things. And the reason is you got to think, we know how to survive.
Yeah.
You said a good point earlier. We know how to survive off the bare minimum. I'm talking about bare minimum.
Yeah.
We know how to survive. Okay. Now, since we know how to survive, don't you know everything that was shot, thrown our way, what happened? We always overcame. You know, yeah, and we're not the only race. There are other races, but
We speaking on, and it is other races, but you know what? We speaking on black people right now.
Okay, but
I can say this too. Is when people say, "Hey, y'all always say black this, black this, black this, black this." Well, let me tell you something. The Italians always said Italian this, Italian that. The Asians always said Asian this, Asian that. The Hispanics always said Hispanic this, Hispanic that. You know, everybody fought for what they wanted out of this country, right?
Yeah.
And what gets me, and I love my people, and you keep hearing this same stuff on Breakfast Club, on these other podcasts, and people are talking. When Barack Obama was in office, black people were so happy that we didn't ask him for shit. And they've been talking about that now. And they saying that we got Kamala Harris and we got Biden racist ass. I don't care what nobody says, racist as hell. I don't give a damn. He's racist as fuck. Okay. And everybody come with this. Oh, well, you know, he said he's going to do stuff for black people. You know, remember when he got on the Breakfast Club and said what he said? You ain't black if you don't vote for me. You're not black if you did vote for him. That's how I look at it. And the thing is this right here. This country has never gave a damn by black people. Let's just talk about, you know, I ain't going to talk about it in deep. We're going to just talk about the law that they passed for the Asian American. That law they passed it like that.
Real quick.
No problem, right? But they just won't even pass a law for black people in this country. And the reason why, whether you want to believe it or not, it is what it is. I'm not saying that it's excuses. You know, and I tell people, don't bring up excuses. You can hustle. You can get what you want out of this country as being a black man. This is the difference, okay? And the difference is it's going to be 10 times harder for you to push than it is going to be for this white man. That's what you need to understand. I always tell people this. I don't want to hear excuses. I don't want to hear I can't get a job. I don't want to hear I can't make a million. I don't want to hear I can't get this. Because you're right. You're not going to get it that easily. It's not going to happen. Mm-hmm. So you're going to have to be willing.
You can get there.
You can get there. It's just going to be 10 times harder.
Right.
And this is what it is. You being Hispanic, you understand what I'm saying. This is what it is. And I try to talk to a lot of black men. I say, look, man, I had doors shut in my face. I had this, I had that. I've been out 3 years. Look, man, this is what you got to understand. Once you recognize it's going to be 10 times harder, you're going to have to put your mind, you're going to have to put your soul, your blood, and you're going to have to fight to get what you want because this is what's going to happen. Then your counterpart, your white counterpart going to be like, well, I got it. I got the $100,000 loan. I just filled it out one time and my credit score just like yours. A lot of them really don't understand. They really because you know what?
Yeah.
They might fill it out one time and I'm going through that now. Mm-hmm. They might fill it out one time. I might have to fill it out 10 times. And that's just
Let me say this right here. That a couple of weeks ago, I was at work.
We're going to get this take after this.
And my supervisor, right? He was telling me about that he was talking to a black man, and he made a statement. He said, "You off of dark, you know." He was just, you know, casual conversation, but in some kind of way, he said, "You know," he made the statement, "You off of dark," and the guy told him, he said, "Well, look, man, that was a racist remark," and he was like, "You know, what did I say that was racist?" And it goes back to certain things in the black community that, like he just said, a lot of times they really don't understand. Because if you was dark skinned, you was treated different than if you were light skinned. And so, you know, it's there like you just said. Some people really don't know.
No, here's the thing, is like, and I always wanted to talk about this. When it comes to insults, okay, this is the most, right here, is the most insulting word that you could ever find, okay? And this is like right here, like the most praise you could ever find. Okay. And I always wonder, what's the counterpart to nigger? Mm-hmm. What is it to a white guy?
Cracker, hoochie, pale face.
No. Give me something.
What you mean? Like the counterpart, like derogatory? Like,
yeah. What is it? What is the counterpart?
It's just what we'll say. If we got mad or something, we'll say shit like that.
There's nothing.
Yeah.
No, it ain't nothing far as period.
Try to find a word that is as offensive as the word nigger to a white guy, a Hispanic guy.
I'll be honest with you. If we call them hoogies, they don't like it.
They don't like that, but they don't get offended. They're not. If I call you, sir, please forgive me. If I call you a nigger, I'm telling you, you're worse than dirt.
Right.
And if I say to
like
a white guy,
like in the Constitution, you one fifth.
Yeah, with one fifth.
And if you say that to a white guy, what he's gonna say? I'm not black.
Yeah. So honestly, so what is
like
it?
Real
so
talk.
There's. And I mean, and
because they look at you like you said as the lowest of the lowest.
But the thing is, like, there's not a counterpart on the white culture. It's not a counterpart on the Hispanic culture, because they call us spics. Oh, because we say speak Spanish. That's the only.
Or they say wetbacks. Could you
wetbacks?
Yeah. Whatever.
Oh, because we crossed the Rio Grande.
Yeah, it ain't right.
Oh wow, we're wet. Oh dear God, fucking. Oh wow. Yeah. No, but
you know, anytime you put a label and it sticks, you know, it's like this. Anytime I try to downgrade you, it's to make me look better. But in reality, it's not making me look better. You know,
no, it's making me worse.
Right.
But the thing is, like, my point is that when people the word nigger, sorry.
Right.
But stop them. We're talking.
Nigger. I know, but it's just like, trust me, it's just like, I feel very uncomfortable saying it, because the thing is, like, to me, I know how, and this is the point to it, I know how insulting it is. Because
if, like for me, it's not insulting to me. And I'm going to tell you why. The reason it's not insulting to me is because I understand what it means.
Yeah, but if I tell you, I'm treating you like a nigger.
You black nigger. You're nothing but a
nigger.
What
is it? Yeah. You're going to get offended.
Exactly.
And the action.
Yeah, if he goes any further, like you said. If he goes further.
So the thing is, like, when people, and this is the problem that I have when people say, oh, the N-word, because it takes away the sting to it. Because the thing is, like,
let's wrap it up.
Okay. So when somebody's following you in a store, they're saying you're a nigger.
Right.
If
exactly.
A police officer pulls you over and says, get out of your car, put your hands on the, he's telling you you're a nigger.
Right.
And all those little things that is like the things that you're trying to avoid, the things that you're trying to push away. That, you know, I'm not a straight nigger. I'm an educated man. You know, I raised my family. I don't do drugs. All this kind of stuff. But you're going to push me to be a nigger. And that's where they're going to push you. And they're going to push you.
Yeah.
And that's why people go. That's why black guys go, don't touch me. Don't do this. Don't do that. Don't treat me like a nigger. That's where all the prideful comes in.
Hey, you know what? And that's true. And I know sometimes we're very, 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 very prideful. And I'm gonna be honest with you. I think sometimes we have to swallow our pride to actually save our life. And what I mean by that is, I don't mean get down on your fucking knees and say, well, please don't kill me. That ain't what I'm saying.
No.
It's a time and place for everything. And you know what I mean? It's a time and place to stand up and fight. And it's a time and place to stand down.
Yeah.
Okay? And so I think that if a police pull me over and I know they're wrong, I've got the knowledge now, because this is what a lot of black people gotta get, knowledge. So, okay, you pull me over, you put me in the car, I didn't do nothing wrong, you take me to jail, you find out, oh, mistaken identity, cool. Okay, let's play that back. I told him that it wasn't me. He checked everything. He just took me anyway. I gave him no problems. This is what you got to remember. You give him no problems, it make him even madder sometimes. Like, yeah. Okay, well, cool. I'm going to take you to jail.
They want you to get a grip.
And this is my thing.
Yeah.
So when they say, oh, I'm going to take you to jail, I say, okay, cool. I'll bond out. I'll make sure you got $20,000 bond. That's cool. I'll go to court. You know what I mean? And then once all that is done, and then you can take it to court to sue. Now, I want to say this because we got to go. And I want to ask, I'm going to ask you a question, yes or no, and it's really what I need, and we're going to get to Brutally Honest. So I want to ask you first, and just a yes or no, is America racist?
Yes.
I want to ask you, Big Mike, is America racist?
Oh, no doubt. Yes.
And I'm going to ask my own question. Yes. And not only towards black people. And with that.
Can I say something?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yersa Kay, which is the guy who plays in Star Trek, is the Asian guy. He was part of the concentration camp for the Asians. And he asked his dad, why do you defend the United States? And he gave the best answer. And I think that's why we are here.
Yeah, and then we get on to the last one. Go ahead.
Because the promise of a better
life.
And let's wrap it up from that, because guess what? They fucking lied. Okay. So we're gonna get to the last segment of the day. And the last appreciate y'all, but the last segment of the day is Brutally Honest. Basically, I ask y'all a question and y'all gotta answer it. And if you don't answer the question the way I think you should answer it, I think you're lying, I will rag your ass. Okay. So the question of the day is, and we're gonna do the first one for our guest today, which is Big Mike, as he like to call himself. Don't know why, but whatever, who cares? So we gonna say, have you ever cussed at your mom or your grandmother before?
You still see me, right? That's my answer.
Not even a slip up, right? Not even a slip up. Okay, Mr. Okay, I know you did, because grandmama will.
Yeah.
I wouldn't have been born. exactly. Well, Mike, have you ever cussed?
Yes, and I woke up 2 days later.
No doubt.
No, and the funny thing is, my brother actually cussed her out one time.
Yeah.
And my mom grabbed a guitar and, like, literally put him through the guitar.
Oh,
Lord. So, yeah.
Okay, look.
My mom is tiny, dude. Seriously.
I put it to you like this. Okay, I think my dad knows the answer to this one.
Yes,
I have. And I got thrown around, hit with broomsticks and shoes. And I don't know, man. I probably didn't wake up a lot of times. I don't kick down the stairs. And
well, see, that's the thing that Hispanics and blacks have alike.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
In Latin America, we can have the chancla, which is the flip-flop.
Yeah. You know? It ain't no. What did you say? Get in the corner. What? No,
my mom.
What did you say? Matter of fact, you ain't gonna hear. What did you say? Like,
no, my mom had the finger. My mom had the.
Yeah.
And she could do it from any angle going. Yeah. And you know your ass was going to get a whooping once you got home.
And you know what? But you know what? I think that for the whoopings we got, or for the whoopings that we didn't get, but most of the time I got plenty of them. You know what I mean? I think it kind of saved a lot of us. So when people say, hey, whooping hurts your kid, You damn right it hurt them, so they can understand not to do that shit again. So yeah. Hey, that's what's up, man. So by the way, man, if y'all want to go check out this podcast, man, on YouTube, y'all type Heat Level Podcast, go check it out. You want to go check it out on Apple Podcasts, Podbean, Spotify, iHeartRadio. You just type in Heat Level Podcast. And if y'all want to go check out my music, since I am a hip hop artist, y'all can go to Spotify and type in Ykeem. That's Wykeem. That's Wyq. Eric. Mimi. Mama. Moo Moo. And if y'all want to go check out the music videos, y'all can go on YouTube. Ykeem TV. That's Wykeem TV. That's Wyq. Eric. Mimi. Mama Momo TV. So y'all make sure y'all go check that out. And can y'all please comment, like, and share? If you're watching this on YouTube, y'all already know it's below. So y'all comment, like, and share, and subscribe. I'm gonna point to the right or the left because I don't know which one I'm gonna put yet. So y'all make sure y'all like and subscribe to this channel, man. And please answer the brutally honest question. Thank y'all for listening to the podcast. I hope we did some justice with the black people. Hope we did some justice with the Hispanic people. And I hope we let the white people know what's going on in our mind. Am I right? Am I right? Anybody? Yes. Can I get yes. a?
Hell yeah.
Know, can I get
100?
A what?
Amen. 100.
Can I get a what? What? I did. Well, appreciate y'all for being here. And y'all know how I always say, I'm about this big.